everybody. This is Adam Seward. You're listening to Awaken Life, and you're the light of the world. We are ready to rock and roll. Dad, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Thanks, Adam.
Paul DeFuria is with us as well.
Hey, guys.
And, of course, Eric's over there on the ones and twos.
On the ones and twos? I think that's because of Adam's Halloween costume today. He's like an old school B-boy today.
That's right. That's right. Came in spirit today.
All right. So, we'll drop some Beastie Boys and some Run DMC in the mix today.
Right? Those would be some great intros and outros today.
All right.
We'll drop that right along with how to occupy enlightenment, which is the topic for today. We're going to talk about what we were talking actually before we even came into the studio today about if you're going to occupy something, does that mean you're going to vacate something else? And so we decided that it does. And so today we're going to be talking about what it means to occupy love and to vacate fear, what it means to occupy peace, to vacate stress, what it means to occupy heaven and to vacate, well, all that's not that. So how's that sound, guys?
Like it.
Me too.
I also was hoping we'd talk at some point about how the light in our hearts is the same as the light that lights up the heavens. How's that sound?
Mm, nice. Go all the way today, huh?
I think, people are talking, you know, a lot about, there's a lot of occupation that's going on out there. And, different people are focusing on different aspects of that. But it just feels like for the purposes of what we're doing and what we're talking about, that really the focus of our effort is, you know, what it means to occupy enlightenment. So Paul, will you remind me of what Isaiah said the other day about occupy?
Oh, he posted a great quote, which said, occupy yourself one breath at a time.
Mm.
How about that?
Does that include?
Pretty simple.
Does that include this breath?
It does. We're watching. We talked about Occupy, the Occupy protest movement a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I've been really pleased to see what's unfolding. How it's just been a worldwide sort of shift, and it's people really paying attention, and it seems to have legs and be something bigger than that it began. So that's exciting to see that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that this whole, you know, Occupy Enlightenment thing, which is basically the meaning of planetary awakening, that it means to move into that state and to stay there.
It does seem to me that part of what they're talking about is a shift in consciousness, not mm-hmm. just a shift in policies or the structure of government or capitalism and all the rest. There's something going on at a deeper level. Some of the kids, they're the ones that are really impressing me. The young kids who are there with their signs, and they're just so thoughtful. It's so amazing to me what some of the things they're saying and arguing for.
Mm.
And it's really about shifting consciousness into a place of, into a space where you're dropping the judgment and doing what works. Because that is really the most compelling piece. They're sitting there saying, hey, it's not working. What's going on? It's not working. So let's make a change. And the powerful aspect of it is it's nonviolent. It's not pointing fingers for the most part. Now, everything's represented. It's a kind of a smorgasbord, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet that you seem to be coming through. It's not against something. It's for something.
Mm-hmm.
You always lose when you're pushing up against something,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and they've kept it broad, right? What does it mean? What do they want? They've kept it broad enough that we can read in to what, you know, our highest aspirations as people.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are hip to here is, you know, what does that mean in terms of where you're sitting? Mm-hmm. How do you shift where you are in your life? Because that's mm-hmm. about the best thing you can do. My mm-hmm. teacher always used to say, don't save the world, save yourself.
You know, speaking of me, I had an interesting experience today. I went to the bank to make a deposit, and I had this check that I've been holding on to for a while from the Department Stores National Bank. And apparently it's a refund from Macy's or something like that. And I purposely didn't cash it because it looked suspicious to me. You know, I was like, the department stores, National Bank, I don't know if I want to cash it. It was for $80-some, but apparently it was a refund. And so I remember I got into the car. I saw it in the pile, and I saw him running it through, and I got into the car, and I started thinking about that check, and I started to get a little nervous. You know, there was some fear started to come up, and I it was funny because I pulled out my phone and I Googled department stores, National Bank, you know, and then I see this, someone posted on there, you know, don't cash that check, you know, or whatever. Not because anything, and I read it more, you know, not because anything had happened, but just someone had received a similar check and asked that question. And so in that moment, I was occupying fear.
I was going to say, if you want to endorse that to me, I don't know. I'll take my chances.
You know, and I caught myself too because I came home and I sat down because I sat down just to kind of go into the light before the show today. And as I was sitting there, it was funny to watch the ego and the attachment to that belief dissolve. Because for a moment, I'm thinking, wow, maybe I should, rather than sit and meditate right now, maybe it'd be a good idea to get online and research this whole department store. Now, you know, where's Macy's phone number? I need to get, you know, I need to call them and see what's going on. And then as I was sitting there, it occurred to me that the one that sent me that check is the same one that we talk about in here every week. Now, this is radical, right? This is, I mean, we're talking about an omnipresent consciousness. You don't go to jail by accident. You don't experience identity theft by accident. It occurred to me that the fight that I was putting up, or that the ego was putting up, it, just how irrelevant it was. You know, in the light of that consciousness. Yeah.
There's an aspect of yourself that's untouched by all the little things, that all the vagaries of life and all the rest, all the things that catch people. You know, there's a part of you that's just absolutely untouched from that. And so it's great to tap into that part of you and know yourself as that, and then live, right? Because all the fear that you have is going to decrease with more information. The more information you get, the less worked up you're going to be about stuff. You know, it's usually things you don't know that you're worried about, right? And, you know, and so then your commitment is, I'm going to be doing one of two things, as you always are. You're either contracting in fear or opening in love, right? So if your commitment is to live your life from your heart in love, then you're just looking for more info whenever you feel, you know, start to feel fear come in. What is it I don't know? And I'll just find it out, and I'll ask.
And then, you know, also, what is it that I do know that really doesn't match or isn't consistent with this fear? You know? And one thing I know is the great perfection. You know, one thing I know is that, you know, those thoughts in that moment were completely irrelevant. They did nothing for me. They did nothing for me to help me or to pull me out of that fear. They were just feeding the contraction. So it's like, even in that moment, what I know and what you listeners know is enough. There's enough light in what you know to dissolve the darkness of that fear that comes up. And that was the experience.
Great. That's absolutely true. Absolutely.
So that's, you know, and it's interesting too, because what, you know, that the ego thought system, you know, the guards thought system, the Course in Miracles actually says that it's insane. And it also says that you can't really hold allegiance to two masters. It's one or the other. So either the world of fear, separation, guilt, and stress is the truth, or the world of innocence, love, peace, beauty, truth, goodness is the truth. And so where are you putting your attention? That's the question. Where are you putting your attention? Are you putting it on the fear and feeding it? You know, like,
well, there's plenty of opportunity to do it. You know, there is this conversation that's occurring, right? So in social consciousness, there is a dialogue, And a lot of it is filled with lies and things that are meant to create fears to control your behavior. So this is why institutions are so kind of threatened. Initially, they wrote off, they mocked this movement. Then now they're ridiculing it. And soon enough, they'll be fighting up against it. And of course, you've seen literally, you know, pepper spray and all this kind of outrageous thing. But it's because it threatens it's about fear.
Yeah.
Right. And so when these kids are saying, hey, we're just here in peace and we're going to stay here, then we're going to shift this consciousness, then, you know, they don't know what to do with that. What do you do? So, well, let's see what happens, you know. But I really admire what some of these people are really doing, you know. They're just making a stand, taking a stand in their lives, saying, hey, no more of that stuff that doesn't work. Let's move to what does work, something creative, something that really opens things up. You know, and then where in your life are you doing that? Where are you contracting and where are you creating possibility? Where are you in service?
Yeah.
Right? That's the thing that frees you up the most, right?
And where are you aware of the perfect, unshakable innocence that's your true nature?
Love to talk about innocence.
It. Yeah. Yes. So when we come back from break, we go to our first break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about what it looks like to occupy perfect innocence, which is your true nature. So stay tuned. You're listening to Awaken Life on KKNW.
Kidzan Hot Yoga of Bellevue is a brand new hot yoga studio in Bellevue, Washington. Come join a beautiful yoga community and become part of something greater than yourself. Hot yoga has so many tremendous benefits, which include allowing your muscles to stretch deeper than they would at room temperature, while detoxifying your body and working out on a micro and macro level. If you have aches and pains or are just searching for an active and meditative workout, hot yoga is for you. Temperatures range from 98 to 105 degrees and postures focus on strength, endurance, and balance, while simultaneously working your organs, nervous system, and glands. This is a comprehensive workout, and more importantly, it's an opportunity to go deeper within yourself and heal your mind and body from the inside out. More info at GetZenYoga.com. That's GetZenYoga.com.
Listen to the Marie Manucherry Show, where energy and medicine meet, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. It's intelligent and provocative radio. Tuesdays is boot camp for the soul to help you soar. Thursdays, Marie interviews guests from an incredibly talented lineup. To learn more about Marie and her radio show, visit energyintuitive.com or connect with her on Facebook and Twitter. That's the Marie Manucherry Show, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Are you upside down on your home loan and facing foreclosure? Washington's Foreclosure Fairness Act takes effect on July 13th and requires your mortgage holder to grant you a face-to-face meeting to negotiate modifications to your loan that may let you keep your house. More than 5,600 homes were seized in the first 3 months of this year in the state of Washington. Don't let this happen to you. Visit foreclosurefairness.net. That's foreclosurefairness.net. Or call 206-818-9732, your home safety net.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Life here on KKNW Transformation Talk Radio, coast to coast through our flagship station, WBLQ, out in Rhode Island. It's a mouthful. So today we're talking about what it means to occupy enlightenment and what it also means to vacate things like fear, shame, guilt, worry, and to occupy those aspects of enlightenment, you know, like love, fear, peace, and heaven. So the piece of that I really have been enjoying thinking about lately and wanting to focus on is what it looks like to occupy innocence. Because there's this myth out there that there's something else other than innocence. And, again, you know, The Course in Miracles would say, It says here, there's nothing in the mind of God that does not share his shining innocence. So that includes, well, Paul, does that include me? I mean, am I excluded in that? Or?
Hey, everybody's included. Everybody's invited to that party.
It sounds like, and you know, one thing you said, Paul, that I love is you say we come in pre-approved.
That's good, yeah. Well, we talk all about what an enlightened mind or to have the bodhicitta mind, that clear, open. And they talk a lot about beginner's mind in Zen, right? So the idea is there's this moment, and then there's the story that you have about it being two distinct things. People like the security of knowing there's a story, so they know what's coming next. It's right?
Yeah.
So the idea, innocence, you come to the moment without the story, without the preconceived idea, without knowing what's happening next. It's open, it's completely open, and then you can meet whatever's rising up. And that's really innocence, right? And that's why we love kids, because that's how they do it.
Yeah.
And it's so pure and it's so perfect. And somewhere along the way, we get convinced as adults that, you know, that has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's what any good artist is doing. That's where juicy stuff happens, where creative things occur, is when you're open in the moment without a story of the past, right? And so, you know, that's something we put an emphasis on. Let's open things up. We don't have all the answers. In fact, we don't really know anything.
Mm.
And that's actually liberating.
Mm.
That's innocent. You don't have any judgment.
Right.
You're just open to what's coming. Let's do that. See what happens.
I love the workbook for In the Course, because what it actually does is it, for about 20 lessons, it helps you to just forget anything you thought you knew. So the first lesson is nothing means anything. You know, I've given this world all the meaning that it has for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it's sort of cleaned the slate of all the projection, that just doesn't work. I mean, call it true or not, it doesn't work, right? So it cleans all of the projection that doesn't work. And then the goal of the course is to establish you in reality or in truth. And so the new truth, you could say, that it would add in the place of what was before is what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
It says here, creation is the natural extension of perfect purity. So it's sort of like God created the heavens and the earth and saw that it was good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that includes you. That includes all of us. Our essential nature, you know, who we are, like you said, Paul, who we are without a story, who we are without some mind-made conception or abstract reference point, is this being, really, of shining innocence, this being of light. Right?
That's it. You know, people, the voice of cynicism can begin to creep up, and people forget. They don't even think innocence is possible. It's a concept because they forgot they are the innocent. They are innocent.
Yeah.
Right? So it's what you're saying is very, very powerful, Adam. I want to hear more of it.
Well, you know, that's such an innocent thing for you to say.
Okay. Well, let's put it in terms of time. People think about the future, right? If you ask them about the future, they already have a story about it. They'll tell you all about it. What they don't realize, well, if you really stop for a second, think about it, there's nothing out there in the future.
It's
empty. But they've put their past into the future, in the narrative. The truth is, it's an empty field. Deepak Chopra calls it the infinite field of possibility. Right? It's open. Who knows what's going to happen? That's what makes it cool.
Yeah.
Because it will surprise you.
Someone calls it the field of pure potentiality as well.
Well, there you go. You know, the quantum physicists talking all about it in scientific terms. So it's really not quantum theory anymore. It's not a theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's open. And so, you know, you do have a choice right now what you are opening into. Is it going to be the same old thing that's run by these fears and cynicism? Or, you know, is it what you really want to create at your deepest heart? And if you're interested in this conversation we're having, then you've already made the sacred contract to participate in it. You're in.
Right. Well,
and it's fun, by the way. more fun game to play. So
what I enjoy is this experience of, the light in my heart being the light of God, the light of the heavens, and to be, just as there's, childhood, adolescence, and adulthood in life, there's also childhood, adolescence, and adulthood on the journey of awakening. And part of what, and also, part of what you're awakening to is who you really are. And, essentially you're the reproduction of the generator, organizer, and deliverer of the entire universe. And so just as you, have a childhood and then emerge into adulthood, or as our physical bodies do, so does our divine or our subtle body. So we're all, the experience that I've been having is that we're all gods becoming aware of our God nature, essentially, which is just saying, you're just a reproduction. You were made in the same image as the one who made you. So the more that we feel into that, the more fun it gets. I mean, is there anything more fun than that?
Mm. Well, it's true, and so it has a lot of power. It's very empowering. And when you realize that about you, of course, it since everything's a reflection, you realize about everyone and everything. And that's a thing that that scientists will tell you. This cup here is basically crystallized light. Mm. It is light. It's atoms flying around, right? Mm. It's at light speed. and so all the stuff you see is essentially an old star, And so it's actually literally light that you're talking about.
You're right? Cracking up, Dad. You are cracking up over here.
You guys, I'm with you. I'm occupying the space.
How's it feel?
Oh, it feels great.
Okay. Yeah. So these are the two poles, right? The manifest is light, and the unmanifest or the absolute or the witness is consciousness. Mm. So this experience is consciousness as light, right? So you're aware of who and what you are, and everything is. Mm. And if you really knew that, then you know that you're one with everything. So you wouldn't ever harm anything other. You would never, because it would be you. Why would you ever hurt yourself?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It's like you're a piece of the universe, and so naturally the universe is taking care of you because you're it.
And it's an undivided whole. I saw a picture on. Of a little kid. I mean, he must have been a college-age kid.
Yeah.
In one of these Occupy Seattle things. And he had this sign, and it's really making the rounds, going viral. Mm-hmm. But he said, I am the 100%. And basically saying, I'm just part of this whole thing that's happening. It's not separate. I'm not against you. It's all just this shimmering, radiating light, and I'm it, and so are you. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's a total different type of protest, right?
That It's like a declaration.
Yeah.
And it's a confession, too.
Very much a confession.
Right? There's a lot of people that are having this experience, but they're just not quite ready to confess it yet.
Well, it feels like a burden for a lot of people. Oh, my God, what would happen if I really owned up to who I am? What would have a life change?
Sure.
I could have to stop complaining, have to blaming everybody, and I'll lose all my friends if I do that. That's what we do together. But, the truth is that when you make a shift in awareness and you begin to really know yourself, then you have more responsibility. Hmm. And it's not the kind that brings a burden. It's just that you have more information, so it's on you to share it. Mm-hmm. So how are you sharing it? It's very easy. If it feels right, it's loving, it's open, it's transparent, then you're on the right thing. If it's contracted and fearful and right, you're making that argument. Mm-hmm. You say, I want a do-over.
Right. Well, in the manual for teachers, the Course in Miracles manual for teachers, it says to teach is to learn. It does not distinguish between the two. It says teaching is learning. So everything you teach, you learn.
That's right.
And everything you learn, you teach. And, in the Hawaiian language, they have one word. I can't remember what it is, but they have one word and it means teach and learn. They don't have two separate words like
we
do.
Cool.
And
that's confusing that way.
it is more and more direct in the sense that it doesn't You know, it's not creating a false distinction. Yes, teaching's happening. Yes, learning's happening. Yes. Are you learning that your oneness with the cosmos? Yes. Is that awesome? Yes. So,
and it's not learned as some idea. You don't memorize it. It's not a concept.
No.
It's a feeling. You're experiencing it. So, you know, let that in. All you have to do is allow it. It's obvious.
It reminds me more of an unfolding than anything else, like a flower. So we'll talk more about it. We got to go to break. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to make an ash of yourself through meditation and how it relates to occupying perfect enlightenment. You're listening to Awaken Life. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And I'm Rick Seward.
And together we have partnered to bring you Awaken Life as part of our commitment to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. That's also why we decided to create the Awakening Foundation. Well, what's the Awakening Foundation? The Awakening Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's designed to help facilitate the evolution of consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awaken Media. We'd love to connect with you. For more information on the Awakening Foundation, go to adamseward.com. If you'd like to find out more or to talk with us about how you can support the mission, fill out the contact form and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We look forward to connecting with you.
Call the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silberman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silberman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Feed your mind and your body and spirit will follow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Life. This is Adam Seward, and you are shining innocence. We are talking today about occupying enlightenment and vacating everything else. And what a sacred step that really is. Like I said before the break, part of what we're looking to now is so we talked about innocence. What about occupying peace? I mean, what is that really? Inner peace. I mean, how does that show up in our lives? I mean, there's, you know, we talked in the second ago about these stories that we come in with and usually about the future and some fear that it's not going to turn out quite the way that we want it to and how binding that is. And really, that's what we're talking about, vacating, so that we can occupy this other state, which isn't really an other state, but this way of being, this, you know, it reminds me of Thich Nhat Hanh's book, Peace is Every Step. Mm. Are you familiar with that one, Paul?
I haven't read that one.
That one is...
That's true, though. I get it. It's peace is this moment.
Peace
is... What he's saying is okay, know the natural state. Your natural state is peace, is the experience of peace. Right. So then the idea is not, enlightenment is not, oh, I am going to understand that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to figure that out or I'll wake up to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, I'm going to integrate that and live it from moment to moment. Every step I'm going to do that. That's mm-hmm. be my life practice. It becomes your practice to live this way.
It's so, right. So yeah. peace is every step. It's every breath. It's your commitment in a sense.
That's why when we talk about that first quote, occupy yourself. How do you do that? Every breath. Right? It's so you, in any moment you find yourself not doing it, just follow your breath. Just one. Inhale, mm-hmm. exhale. That's all it takes.
And you're fully occupied.
Because you're being breathed, mm-hmm. essentially. It's the most natural thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
All you're doing is putting your awareness on your breath. So you're actually conscious that you're breathing. And if you start to contract, you'll always notice, oh, I stopped breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just holding my breath. That's it. And that's when you feel fear. Guess what? You're holding your breath. That's why we always say, whether it's contemplative prayer or meditation or whatever it is, some practice, even if it's needlepoint,
mm-hmm.
stop what you're doing, just stop and quiet your mind and breathe and relax.
You know, sometimes there's a meditation that I found myself doing, and then I created a guided meditation out of it too, but the instruction is just to sit as peace.
I like that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, fold your legs or do whatever you got to do. Get on the floor or just, you know, sit in your chair and sit as peace. Right?
Yeah.
It's quite nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Isaiah's foundation is one voice of peace, right?
Mm.
And one of the tenets, one of the foundational principles is not opposition,
mm-hmm.
right?
I just want to clarify, that's Isaiah Landers, yeah. and we've had him on the show before. He's doing amazing work down there, in Palm Springs.
Yes.
And he talks about non-opposition as, okay, what's arising now? If you're in opposition to it, you're going to feel stress. You're going to contract. Mm. So what's happening is supposed to be happening. So your job is just to accept it fully, allow for it, and see what's there for you, right? Mm. What's the gift in it? What's the highest that you can speak to in this moment, given what's happening, right? And if you talked about a flower unfolding.
Mm.
How much opposition is in a flower as it unfolds?
Mm.
I mean, nature gets this. It just is happening peacefully. It's so that's why people go out into nature to get out of, you know, the rat race or their mind or what. Very easy to do.
And what are you opening to? I mean, what is a flower opening to? I mean, there's a metaphor in that for the only thing that you can ever open to or I can ever open to, right? It's the light of the sun. It's the rain. It's the, pollination of little helpers, you know, that are having a hard time, by the way, right now on our planet, which is a sign of mm-hmm. kind of things that we're doing that are not so good for the planet.
There's an absolute unbelievable mystery that is creation and your own evolution. Mm. I mean, your body is beating, you're breathing, your blood is pumping, your pancreas is... All these things are happening, and you, really, what do you have to say about it? Just the most natural thing in the world. When you put your attention on all this, the miraculous things that are going on all over the place, it shifts your consciousness away what's supposed to be happening, what's not happening, to what is, and then you have appreciation expands.
Occupy peace. Wonder.
That's it. That's the beginner's mind is wonder.
Yeah.
What's going on? This is such a mystery. We think we know what's going on. Oh my goodness. We have no idea.
It's so fun. It's so fun too, because, you know, Paul, you and I and Dad, you too. I mean, we're hungry for this, you know, awareness. And so the more that we sort of gobble it up, the more tempting it almost becomes to be like, oh, I know something.
Yes.
And,
you want to hold it.
Right. And but the bliss and the peace, like you said, it's just really in that not knowing and being willing not to know, because that's where that dimension of awe and wonderment comes in into the picture. Mm-hmm. Dad, I have to say, you are a master at this. I mean, I see you practicing this. I mean, you're going to be 60 in February. and you're like a big kid in so many ways.
I really am. Yeah. I know.
I admire that about you.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. Childlike approach. It's open, right? You're open to miracles.
Mm.
The people, at some point, they lose faith. They go, miracles aren't really possible. They forgot they are a miracle.
There's a great example of this that came to me recently. You might be familiar with the movie The Game with Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this movie is a great example for me of sort of the you don't know what you don't know, right? Because if you've seen the movie, turn off your radio because I'm going to spoil it for you. But at the end of the movie, Michael Douglas is standing on top of this building with a gun. And he's pointing it, ready to, there's someone about to come through this door, and he thinks it's like the FBI that's going to take him away, or this CIS or something that's called in the movie. And there's a woman that's saying, you know, don't do it, right? It's a game. It's just a big joke. We've just been setting you up this whole time. You paid us to do it. It's your birthday party. And so the door opens and he shoots his gun. It's his brother holding a bottle of champagne. And it goes through the bottle and there's blood and he falls to the ground. And then Michael Douglas is just standing there just so defeated. Like, oh my God, it was a game. And now I've shot my own brother. And he just kind of walks over to the edge of the building and he just throws himself off. He's so hurt. And it shows him falling, you know, just falling. It reminds me a lot of the last scene of Vanilla Sky as well, but he's just falling. And then he breaks through this glass and it shows him with, one of those large inflatable mats that would break your fall with a circle and an X right in the middle of it. And he lands smack right in the middle of that X. And it's like, happy birthday, you know, man. and his brother is right there waiting for him. It was a blank in the gun and they set the whole thing up. Well, it's as if we could approach this journey of enlightenment in the same way. I mean, everyone's in on it.
Yeah.
You know, it's all for your benefit. And, you know, when it's all said and done, it's just, you get the joke and it's a masterpiece. It really, I mean, unlike the movie, The Game, you know, where it's like people are out to get you and whatever. Well, sometimes it feels that way, but the real game, it's like, you know, rather than a prank or like a joke for your birthday, it's, well, actually in the movie, they said the best description of the game is, I once was blind and now I see. And that's what the real game is about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, they are out to get you. I mean, the idea is they're out to wake you up.
Yes. Even the department store's National Bank.
Everybody.
They're
everybody.
All, I'm on to you, Paul. That means you're in on it. I see what you're up to.
They're either loving you up or waking you up. Either way, it's great.
Loving. You know? I mean, and sometimes we might look at something that, like, hurts and say, wait, that's, or like your house burns down, right? That's not awakening. That's a bummer. It's not true, is it, Paul?
It's not possible. There's nothing lost. And everybody's going to the same place. They're taking different paths,
mm-hmm.
right? So the real question is, how conscious are you going to take? And what kind of route are you going to take, mm-hmm. right? Are you going to go off the path?
Right.
To pick up a stone?
Yeah.
Or are you just going to stay on your path? I always say, just stay on it.
I like the idea of putting your pedal to the metal, true north. Find where true north is and put your pedal to the metal.
That's good.
All right, we're about ready for a third break. You're listening to Awaken Life. Stay tuned. When we get back, we're going to talk about the arc of golden light. You've seen it before. We're going to remind you. We'll be right back.
At the law offices of Richard D. Seward, we care about our clients. We offer important legal advice and services to help them grow their wealth and protect it. We manage the risks and help the financially distressed through the recovery process. We are committed and dedicated to helping people throughout Western Washington and beyond with our expertise in business, real estate, tax law, and debt relief. Find us at richardseward.com or call us at 360-876-6425. We care about you.
No, you're not alone. And it's not just you. The things you're experiencing are actually being felt around the world. And there is something you can do about it. Tune in for It's Not Just You with Lorelei Spiegelman, Susan Wayman, and Siobhan Mitchell. Three professional women of wisdom who compare current events and how they offer you insight into your own personal world. Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Hi, this is Adam Seward.
And I'm Rick Seward.
And together we have partnered to bring you Awakened Life as part of our commitment to supporting the unfolding of human and planetary consciousness. That's also why we decided to create the Awakening Foundation. Well, what's the Awakening Foundation? The Awakening Foundation is a nonprofit organization that's designed to help facilitate the evolution of consciousness through the creation and distribution of what we're calling Awaken Media. We'd love to connect with you. For more information on the Awakening Foundation, go to adamseward.com. If you'd like to find out more or to talk with us about how you can support the mission, fill out the contact form and we'll get back to you right away. Thanks for listening to Awaken Life. We look forward to connecting with you. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Awaken Life. This is Adam Seward. We are talking about what it means to occupy enlightenment, to vacate everything else, and what it means to make an ash of yourself. Now, this is an interesting concept. So the light in your heart is the light of the cosmos. And you may have experienced before that when you go within and you tune in to this infinitely infinite light, that it has this way of filling your being and actually burning up all of the littleness that we cling to. I mean, this was my experience today, and it's part of why I thought of it. I mean, it's really a great example of how to occupy enlightenment, because as I, like today, I had this kind of, you know, fear experience come up. I'm sitting there, and the next thing I know, that self is just burned into ashes. You know, that self or that contraction just is burnt into ash, and I've officially made an ash of myself.
Throw yourself into the pyre. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, see, this experience is one of two qualities. One of them is that it's a sanctuary, in that you're held in the embrace, and all you have to do is take a deep breath and you'll feel it, right? Now, the flip side of it is that it's a crucible. In other words, everything that's not true is burning up. So if you're feeling contraction and fear and pain, that's actually being burned up. In Hindu, they talk about karma. Burning karma.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's a sacred pyre. Throw it all in. Throw yourself in.
Mm.
And the Christian, you know, Meister Eckhart, who is a Christian mystic, he said, the only thing that burns in hell is the self.
Mm.
He's talking about the small self, the egoic self.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, you know, it's what you inherited, and it's like social conventions and its ideas and stuff. Let it all burn and see what's left. You're left. You know, that's what's, occupy yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what we're, you know, we keep pointing to. That self, that true self, is intuitive, it's creative,
right.
It's loving, it's free.
Another Eckhart quote, he says, for God to get in, the creature's got to get out. So it's got to vacate, in other words.
Yeah.
For God to occupy.
There's that aspect of ourselves that we've evolved, you know, from animals that are basically wired to survive, that's still alive in our cells and our DNA. You know, we just don't want it running the show. And you see, even in like financial circles or political circles, people are fighting for their lives because they've created this identity of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's the guy who makes money or the one who has status.
Yeah.
Right. And they literally feel like their lives are being threatened. Right.
Yeah.
And it's really their identity.
Oh, sure.
Which is creating nothing but separation anyway.
Mm.
Right. And causing them untold suffering.
Right. Well, I mean, when who you are has a dollar amount, What happens when that runs out?
Yeah, and it does seem like economically a massive, you know, lots of people are suffering from just upheaval. And even the really super rich people, you know, they talk about the top 400 richest people on the in the United States have as much wealth as 150 million of the poorest people. Think about that.
It's hard. My eyes are crossing, you know.
Right. And so, you know, there's a difference when, and I love what, for example, Bill Gates did was say, went to these billionaires, said, give it all, I want you to commit to giving away half. Hmm. And so many of them have.
Oh, wow.
When you hoard, it's just like anything else, love or your own energy. You try to hold on to it and cling to it. Mm. It starts to eat you alive.
Right.
You know, the idea is to give it all away. If you don't have money, give away whatever your gift is. What's your deepest gift? You know, that's what you're here to offer to the world. And if you're not, you're suffering. It's very sad. This stuff is like math. It's very easy. You know, and it's everybody knows it, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But the question is, do we surround ourselves with friends and allies, people who are supporting the highest aspect of ourselves and what we want for our lives, or people in on a conspiracy of fear and greed and stupidity? Right? You know, sometimes you got to let some friends go. And it'll open up for new friends. Well, you don't really ever leave.
No.
But you're just saying, let's change the conversation, you know?
Right. Well, and it's, you know, it's so, there's something about just really honoring who is showing up, you know? And, you know, sometimes I feel bad because I get a lot of emails from people and I don't always get to them on time or at all, you know? And so I'm like, you know, just please follow up. I apologize. You know, I'm just not a big email person. But it's like, I really, you know, I do my best and I try to just really honor who is showing up and how they are showing up and being present to that. Because it's that idea that it's all happening for you, you know, everything is happening for you, you know, everyone is contacting you. It's just something that's happening for you, not to you. Mm-hmm. So.
And anything you offer them, you experience. Yeah. So you offer them your highest fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just good enough to say your highest. You just offer your highest.
Yeah.
In that communication, you get to experience it and feel it. It gets contagious. It starts to flow because it's a vibration. It's like instead of sending out a dissonant vibrate or sound, you're actually sending out a harmonic, a beautiful, easy, good feeling vibration, you know?
Mm.
And, you know, that's why I love the hippie so much. And part of me wishes I grew up in the 60s, you know? But this Occupy movement feels like that, except with way more information and way more awareness and people actually, you know, really getting it, you know?
Yes.
Who is number one hippie for me is John Lennon.
Well, that makes two of us.
Gosh, and he said, he had the funniest story about a school project. His parents always just told him, let me see if I can remember this right. They said, the point of life is to be happy. So he went to school, right? And they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I want to be happy. They said, no, 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 you misunderstood the assignment. And he said, no, you misunderstand life.
Oh.
Now, you can imagine a little kid like getting that clear and just saying something like that. You know, I love it. Innocent, right?
And what a, you know, I mean, a sign of things to come for him, too. I mean, talk about someone who occupied enlightenment.
Absolutely. Give his whole life to it, you know?
And in many ways, he died a death of kind of who people thought he was and, you know, any image that he may have, you know, had before.
Yeah, his art was so clear. You know, his spiritual practice was very resolute and fully committed. Although he did suffer. He really did suffer and, you know, some real issues with heroin and, you know, he burned while he was here.
Mm.
But, you know, he gave his life to his art and it's lives on, you know. And I was listening to somebody who was talking about climate change and he's given his whole life to this whole idea of an energy infrastructure. I think his name's Jeremy Rifkin or something. He went on about how the next thing will be about how we're going to create renewable energy and share it, essentially sell it to each other. And that'll be the new economy. And he presented it. He's presented all over the world and said, all these different leaders of all political stripes, some of them hate it and some of them love it. So what's the common denominator? He said, I think we got to figure it out. People who are open to things that are transparent, that scale horizontally, that are collaborative, those people love that. Mm. People who are top down, patriarchal, you know, like that whole school of things mm-hmm. that are good and bad, right and wrong. Mm. They hate this idea, mm. you know, but things evolve. And things are evolving to a more collaborative because you look at kids. Kids get on the internet. This whole Occupy movement was happening on cell phones and Facebook. It's going that way, right? It's information spreading like a virus, and it's great. It's more like a, I hate to use the word virus, mm-hmm. And it's the same way with consciousness. There's a spark, mm-hmm. you know, the flame is lit. All right, now let it just burn, and it becomes a brush fire. Right? Mm. That's what we want to do is we want a nice brush fire going. It covers the whole place. And we go, good. What can we do to really shake things up? We don't have to fear change. It's happening. So let's just like let it really flow. Mm. We have plenty of abundance. We have more food. We have more resources than we need.
Yeah.
It's, we have more. We have so much massive abundance. And, you know, the only thing that's holding us back are these old structures, you know? People say, I have these, I am scared of these, you know, these new ideas. I'm scared of the old ones. These are not working. Let's create something new. Yeah. And you're this or you're that. You see this culture clash happening on the streets, you know. It's like they can't communicate. They're actually wanting and talking about the same thing. That's the irony. And there is a place where it integrates. And so, that's where we keep coming back to. There's something that it winds it all. If you look at any of the wisdom traditions, at the highest levels of understanding, they're all saying the same thing, and they all hook up, right? That's what good music does. Who can't listen to really good music? And who's going to disagree with it?
Great art. I mean, it's all sacred art. In some in some way, somehow, it invokes an experience of the sacred in the viewer or the listener, And there's not everything else. Once you start to taste that and just develop a taste for that, everything else is just, you know,
right.
I mean,
one of the clashes is between traditionalists and what they're now calling cultural creatives, right? And the creatives they really want equality, right? So when you go on the streets, they say there are no leaders. The police go, who's running the show? Because police is this kind of a traditional structure.
Who's the captain?
They say, who's in charge? And because they want to go arrest them. Yeah. And they go, nobody. Everybody's in charge. And if you hear them, they all say, everyone's a leader here. Now, that, of course, is the problem with the cultural creatives. It's a big mushy goo.
Yeah. Right.
That becomes a mess. It becomes a kind of anti-hierarchy. And that won't work.
But, right.
You know, it's growing and moving and, you know, let's watch and participate and do it. Well, how can we be creative in our own lives?
Mm.
You know, what art are you creating even in just your family or your job or?
One thing about occupying enlightenment is that this light pours through and it's got to have somewhere to go. Right? And creativity is the answer to that question. I mean, just like the one who created you, you're a creator. And just like when light pours through the heavens and it creates stars and planets and so on, when light pours through your heart, it creates beautiful music.
Yes,
it creates, you know, art of all kinds.
What is your passion? Right. Look to that.
What's your bliss?
Give your life to it.
Follow your bliss, right? I mean, that's what he meant.
That's it.
All right, so speaking of occupying enlightenment, I have a quote we're going to leave you with today. It's from A Course in Miracles. It says, beyond the body, beyond the sun and stars, past everything you see and yet somehow familiar, is an arc of golden light that stretches as you look into a great and shining circle. And all the circle fills with light before your eyes. The edges of the circle disappear, and what is in it no longer contained at all. The light expands and covers everything, extending to infinity, forever shining with no break or limit anywhere. Within it, everything is joined in perfect continuity. Nor is it possible to imagine that anything could be outside, for there is nowhere that this light is not. This is the vision of the Son of God, whom you know well. Here is the sight of him who knows his Father. Here is the memory of what you are, a part of this, with all of it within, and joined to all as surely as it is joined to you. So accept that vision. We'll see you next week on Awaken Life. talk radio evolved. Thanks, guys.
Love you guys.